If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Psalm 103. Particularly in the African American community, fathers are often viewed as strict disciplinarians who lack mercy. And so we often find ourselves thinking in terms of mama being the instrument of mercy and daddy being the instrument of wrath. And so mothers would often say, I'm going to tell your father. I'm going to tell your father. And we found that in the absence of a father in the home, the young man grows up with a disproportionate view of a man to submit to. At some point in his evolution, as he becomes a man, he thinks that being a man means I don't have to submit to someone, and that's because he's had no significant submission to a man as he was coming up. And so you find that those young men, as they become men, they tend to pull themselves away from all manner of discipline and correction and begin to run down their own path because they had no father. This is not to take away from single moms. I think single moms are a gift from God, and they deserve our prayers, admiration, and respect. But a mom can't make a man. And so in many cases, the street takes your boy and makes him a man. And then when God gets a hold of him, God has to work through all that street. And then in many cases, that son goes on then to challenge authority because they've had no one to teach them how to submit to. You will find that pastors who are overbearing and overly dogmatic and controlling, they do so because they've had no significant fathering. They're constantly beating on the congregants because there is a concept of fathering that is modeled by God that is the backbone of family. We have learned that he has foreordained, foreknown, and elected those of us that are his children. You did not come to Jesus by happenstance, nor did you come of your own volition, your own will. You did not choose him, he chose you. You are so firmly entrenched in his hand that he said nobody can pluck you out. Because if you belong to him, there's not a devil around that can take you from God. If he was not strong enough to keep you from God, then he certainly isn't more powerful than God to bring you back into the kingdom of darkness. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and says he's made us accepted no matter what side of the track you come from. If you were raised in what we call North Philadelphia, if you've come from the darkest ghetto and the deepest slum, the moment you become a child of God, you are accepted in the beloved, and you have just as much access to the wealth of sonship as any other believer. Don't believe the lie. God does not endorse poverty. He has made you accepted. Strive for greatness. God does not make you to be mediocre. He doesn't make you to be ordinary. He makes you to be great. That's right, I said great. God made you to be great. Why? Because you house a great God. Living inside of you is all the power of the universe. Living inside of you is the creator of the entire universe. Living in you is the Lord God Jehovah, the Adonai, the El Shaddai, the El Elyon, the Jehovah Jireh, the Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Jehovah Roy. Living inside of you is the master of all creation. Just living in it. But Pentecostalism was nurtured by the concept of being afraid of God. You're going to hell. You're going to bust hell wide open. We send you to hell for smoking cigarettes. We send you to hell for wearing your hair a certain way. We sent you to hell if the woman wore pants. We sent you to hell if you were divorced. We sent you to hell if you got remarried. We sent you to hell if you went to the movies. We sent you to hell for a bunch of things the Bible doesn't even talk about. Because our concept of God is that he is a killer. And you would be right. The Bible does say that God killeth. Jonathan Edwards, revivalist of the 15th or 16th century, preached a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He preached that message, and during the course of the message, he held out his hands to depict all souls are in the hands of God, and every now and then God would open up his hand and multitudes would fall into the flame of hell. The altars were filled during his revival because no one wants God to send them to hell. Modern Pentecostalism took that concept and ran with it. I want to tell you that God doesn't send anybody to hell. We are born with a ticket to go there. But I'm glad Jesus called American Airlines and said, I need to change a ticket. And the operator said, from where was your destination? He said, what was the name? He said, Lambert. He said, oh, he's going to hell. And Jesus said, I want to change his ticket. He said, well, what's his destination now? He said, heaven. He said, the agent said, but he don't have enough money. It costs too much. Jesus said, I paid for it. He don't have to pay for it. He said, all right, where are you going to put him? First class. You ain't going to heaven in coach. The devil got you thinking you all squished up in coach with somebody sitting next to you who took their shoes off. You sitting in first class with wide seats, provision, encouragement. You know, there are people who get jealous of you flying first class and they downplay it. I was sitting in first class and a lady came through with her daughter. And, you know, I was sitting first class. She walks through with her child. Now, she can't sit first class. So she says, the little girl says, Mommy, what are these seats? And the lady says, oh, they're first class. And the girl says, what does that mean? She said, it don't mean much. They just get bigger chairs. See, there are people that are going to hell that despise the fact that you sit in first class. And they'll come in your life and say, ain't nothing to it, see, because you can't do what you want to do. See, why would you serve a God that don't let you party? Why would you serve a God that don't let you drink? Why would you serve a God that don't let you have some sexual fun? You don't get upset because you sit in first class. You look at them and say, who says I can't party? The whole Christian life is nothing but a party. Who says I can't drink? I drink from the water of the tree of life freely. Are you hearing me? I drink new wine. I don't get a hangover. I get joy unspeakable, full of glory. And it's been a party ever since Jesus has come in my life. But there is a concept of God that I want to leave you with that will encourage your soul. He is a killer. When you read the book, The Godfather, there is a portion when Don Corleone is turning over the family business to Michael. And they're talking about different ways of handling business. I guess you're saying that this man has definitely lost his mind. He's using the Godfather in his sermon. Hey, Jesus used birds and flowers. And so Michael, there was this guy that Don Corleone would use. His name was Luca Brasi. And Luca Brasi was this killer. He was a horrible man. And when you read the book, you find out, you know, they don't show it on the movie, but in the book they show how he was horrible. He killed an infant. I mean, it was horrible. And so, but he was so loyal and dedicated to the Godfather. So Michael says to his daddy, he says, why do you use a man like Luca Brasi? And Don Corleone said, you ever go through life and you find people who go out and they don't care about themselves? They jump out of cars to argue and don't even know if the person's packing a pistol or not. They scream at you for no reason without knowing your capabilities of responding. He said, they literally don't care if they die. He said, Luca Brasi was that kind of man. He did not care if he died. He said, but the secret to having a man like that is that he loves you so much that he doesn't want you to be the person that kills him. He doesn't care about dying. He just doesn't want you to kill him. God is a killer. But the secret is for you to get into that special realm of people that he don't want to kill. They're called his family. They're called the church. They're the ones who know the secret of God. I'm going to share it with you. There's a secret about God that only a few people know. It's so deep, the devil doesn't even want you to know it. The devil keeps telling you you're going to hell. That's why he has condemnation. Condemnation comes on you for every little sin. No matter what you do, you smoke a cigarette, ooh, you going to hell, ooh. You just had Thanksgiving, and maybe they pulled out the Cutty Sark at Thanksgiving, and you were born again Christian, knowing you were coming to church, but you had some despair and some anxiety, so you kind of just, you know, pushed down three fingers of scotch. And the devil jumped up on your shoulder. You going to hell.
And he doesn't want you to know this about God. Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, but his acts unto the children of Israel. In other words, the people knew what he was doing, but Moses knew why. And there is a big difference. Then he says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father, a real father, pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Listen to this. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. That's your father. What a great daddy we have. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He does not chide. In other words, he doesn't harass us. He doesn't keep pushing us in our weakness. He remembers that we are incapable of success without him. What a great daddy. If you find that you have a weakness, I have weaknesses. I'm a human being. I need the same God that you need. I have some genetic weaknesses, and I need the same grace that you have. I don't stand behind the sacred desk of ministry feeling superior, feeling like, oh, well, I got it made because I'm anointed to be pastor. No, he looks at my frame. And he sees that I am dust. But if I can get up here and surrender myself to a loving God, so can you. Because his grace is available for all of us. For the gift of God is eternal life. God has not called us to perfection. He has called us to progress. Are you still plagued by the same issues? Or have you grown any with all the grace that I've had available for you? Yes, you may have suffered the loss of some relationships and dealt with some issues, but you're yet standing. So apparently those things that are lost, you really didn't need. You made yourself believe that you needed them. But I loved you so much that I did what you couldn't do. I ended something that I wanted ended, and you didn't have the power to do it. So I loved you so much that I ended that thing for you. Now let me heal your heart. Let me be daddy in the family. Come sit on my knee. Climb up in my lap and find my mercy. We serve a God who won't give you more than you can bear. You hear what I'm saying? There's some blessings God can't give you because you won't know how to handle. He knows what's best for me because he is my father.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11515A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.